Conroe, the February 27, 2023, regular town council meeting. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Town attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
Town manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
And clerk treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
All right, join us for prayer. We're Jerry, Church Christ, and Hamburg, and then followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and thank you for the opportunity to be here. Father, we pray for the men and women as they discuss the matters and pertaining to our town. We just pray for direction and insight into the furtherance of our community that we grow together. Father, and the problems that can resolve from issues over there, there are answers that will be found. And Father, that you will just continue to bless this community when I grow up together. And Father, that we might keep you foremost in our thoughts and our prayers. Father, just again, thank you for the opportunity and just guide and direct in the meeting tonight. And we ask in Christ and amen.
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 Pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Motion to amend or adopt the agenda is presented.
So moved.
Motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign nay. Motion approved. Approval of minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, also noted upon our website.
So moved.
Motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Same sign nay. Motion approved. Okay. All right. Approval of allowance claims also submitted by the clerk treasurer, also noted upon our website.
So moved.
Motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign nay. Motion approved. Comments from the public on any of the agenda items? Waivers none. We have one ordinance number 2023-OR-005. It's an ordinance for filling and replacing 110.15 through 110.20 of Code of Ordinances for the town of Sulzberg, Indiana. Jake?
Yes, sir. We had a workshop where you all had gone through the transient motion for that application. There were certain amendments and changes that were made. Mr. Smith recirculated an updated copy as well as the permit application. I believe that he has forwarded over to the clerk treasurer's office that they have a copy that also put into the books. She has been contacted. He hasn't been forwarded over. So all this is just replacing
said section. Okay. All right, I think we've had plenty of conversation and talks about this, so no need to do too much reading other than what's in front of you. So with that said, I ask for a motion to approve 2023-OR-005. Got a motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign nay. Motion approved. Motion to waive the second reading.
So moved.
We have a motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve ordinance number 2023-OR-005. Ordinance for filling and replacing 110.15-110.20 of the Code of Enforcements for the town of Sulzberg, Indiana.
So
got a motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
I'm sorry.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Okay, our new business, our 2022-2 Community Crossing Matching Grant Bid Award. We had an open bid last meeting, and I think the award went to Wiggum Paving, correct, Lori?
Sure did.
So, do you have some things that you want to bring to our attention?
I do.
Okay, perfect.
And things that will need your wonderful signature on them that I'm getting straightened out right here. If I can pick up paper, that's the challenge of the night. We just got the signed contract back from them today, so it came in a little bit later than we were hoping to get it back from them, but we have it. Yes, so Wiggum Paving was the low bidder. Their bid was $946,807.83, and so I have your notification of contractor award and request for CCMP funds that will need your signature, as well as the agreement, and as well as your signature on their bid for the bid acceptance.
Okay. All right. So with that said, then I ask for a motion for approval of the community matching grant CMG to Wiggum Paving for the amount of $946,018.73. Is that what you said?
946,807.83.
80. Okay.
So,
got a motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
I'll pass these.
Our next new business is our 2023 Town of Sosburg Lawn Care Bid Award. In front of you, I believe you have two mowing bid requests. Charlie, is there something you want to speak about or anything?
We solicited three and two responses presented to you. For you, JC Lawn and Landscape is the low bid on that. Attached in your packet are email communications and the actual solicit bids with this timeline with the council to approve JC Lawn Care for the town and utility portions of the mowing. Everything except the parks will have to approve that separately. So it would be including Sudbury water location, wastewater locations, town location, streets locations, and the police department location. And then parks will need to approve their portion as well as their next meeting.
JL's the company currently does it.
JNC, yes. Yeah, they did not raise, they held their price steady for the last 3 years, I believe.
Okay. So with that said, then I ask for a motion of approval of the JNC Lawn Care contract for 2023 mowing bid.
So moved.
Got a motion by Terry. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you. The next new business is discussion of Adams Creek cul-de-sac, limited parking. I know Charlie has reached out to each and every one of us, talking about some of the issues that just not the residents, but also the school, as well as our town trash weekly pickup is experiencing a lot of issues. that cul-de-sac due to there being an extensive amount of car traffic. I know the chief is also, and Charlie have both had this discussion, so I'll leave it up to you guys.
Trying to bring up the TV here, so. I was reached out to regarding, from a resident in Adams Creek. So basically, there's two cul-de-sacs back there, and when this was approved, the cul-de-sacs are about 7 feet in diameter, which is relatively narrow in general. When you look at some of the other cul-de-sacs we have in town, they're 90 to 100 feet. So school buses, trash truck, fire truck, snowplow trucks, et cetera, cannot make the turn. It's become a problem for the school corporation. I've talked to them. Transportation director, they acknowledge the issue. Basically, I think, just from a general conversation, maybe have the council or a couple of council representatives meet with the residents back there along the cul-de-sacs. The request by some of the neighbors is to make some of the streets back there more parking. Conversation kind of then turned to maybe making the cul-de-sacs no parking during certain times of the day to allow for the school bus issue. As you zoom out on Adams Creek there, you see there's no other access points. The transportation director has indicated that if it continues to be an issue, they're not really going to have much of a choice except to change the pickup in front of the neighborhood instead of going to the houses because of the amount of time it takes to get in and out of there, to get a car behind them and wait for a car to go all the way, trying to maneuver the school bus to turn around there with having vehicles parked on the cul-de-sac is a problem. So I just want to put this conversation before you. To get some ideas, concepts, maybe have a neighborhood meeting with a couple of council members of your district, as well as maybe bring the school corporation, the police department, fire department, and the residents together and see if we can work out a solution.
To be clear, Charlie, if the cul-de-sacs are, there's no cars in, excuse me, in the cul-de-sacs, can the, like, the trash truck and school buses make that?
Yes, if there's no, yes, if there's no car parked in the cul-de-sac, yes, you can make the turn.
And then another question, if, and Chief might be able to speak to this, if there's a car parked on either side and they're parallel to each other, can a vehicle still get through there?
If the bottom cul-de-sac has given most of the issues, as you see the one at the very bottom, matter of fact, there's cars parked on it in that picture. Cars themselves and the trucks in general can get through. It's your bigger school buses, trash trucks, fire engines. You know, an ambulance can get through there, but anything much longer than an ambulance with people parked in the cul-de-sac is the issue.
I'm not real familiar with the areas. Is that a smaller than normal, or is it?
That cul-de-sac is smaller than most.
Okay.
I mean, when I plow the streets on snow nights, you can't make the turn at a 250 with plow in front. I mean, it's a 3-4, 6-point turn to get turned around in there.
But that's with no cars?
That's with cars.
With cars, okay.
Yeah, the issue is not when if there's no vehicles parked there, it's not really an issue. It's when there are vehicles parked there, of course.
And the problem I have to make sure is there's always cars in the cul-de-sac. There's one particular, you know, house there that probably owns several cars, and they are, you know, generally parked in that cul-de-sac, because right now there is obviously nothing that says that they can't.
So what are our options? You can deem the entire neighborhood no parking, no street parking. You could deem the cul-de-sacs no street parking. You could deem the cul-de-sacs no street parking during certain times, or you could do nothing. Or I think maybe we have a little community workshop with the residents back there and everybody involved and try to work as a facilitator, bring everybody to the table together and try to work out a common sense solution. instead of just maybe creating an ordinance the same year as the rule without having discussions. But I think with multiple people having scenarios as to why the situation is what it is, getting everybody in the same room together may be the best option.
Have we spoke to the resident or residents that are parking there? Are they aware of the problem?
They are aware.
And their response was?
I have not personally spoken to them. I know the school has spoken to them on multiple occasions and all.
Yes, we basically have been there multiple times. And the response is that they are legally parked, and they are.
They are?
They are legally parked. There's, I mean, it's, they're not blocking driveways or mailboxes. It's just they can park on the road and they align themselves along the edge of the road. So.
Can you zoom in, John? I thought it's all fire hydrant. Maybe it's on the other side of the street.
Yeah, they've not blocked a mailbox, fire hydrant, or that stuff yet. And we've been dealing, this is not new. We've been dealing this particular issue.
I mean, obviously it's not safe. We've got to get a fire truck back there. We can't turn around. I mean, the school corporation is going to do whatever the school corporation needs to do to safely pick up students. That's their prerogative. It's Brad's district, so I'll yield to him as far as having a meeting or whatever, but it's obviously a public safety issue. I mean, I seriously doubt you have a hard time turning an ambulance around back in there, but anything larger than that, probably so. But I don't want this to turn into every time somebody has a complaint because they don't like their neighbor on a cul-de-sac that they want the town to come in and install a no parking sign. That's why I think it would be, in my opinion, be best to have a neighborhood meeting to say, hey, what can we do internally to solve this before you force the town to react? And I mean, again, are we asking the police to go up there and write tickets and tow cars? Is that how we want to handle the business? I mean, I guess we can if we have to, but that's not a good environment to be in. I mean, surely we can come up with some type of solution. I'm sure they understand that they needed to run a line into the fire hydrant to wherever that fire truck is parked. They pull that hose right through the windows of those cars, and they're not going to care. So,
When I lived in a subdivision, we had this issue, and we as the subdivision, kind of what Charlie said, we didn't have a meeting with the council or anything that, but we came up with a no parking so much in the morning and another one in the afternoon, mainly for the buses. Our issue was the buses. And we did that ourselves. And once I say through, now they don't have an HOA, I'm assuming ours was through an HOA that we did this, but we came up with those guidelines and that worked really well. And actually we didn't have any issues once we did that.
Because if you make it all encompassing, eventually someone's going to have a family get together or something's going to happen where there's a larger gathering, and the people that we're curious to are going to call us and go, hey, everybody else is parking on the street, and you know what? We don't need to be consuming the police department's time with writing parking tickets.
I agree with you on that. I think Chief Webb would as well. Again, the resident, a couple of the residents had reached out to me regarding this and what the town could do, and I laid out multiple options. Obviously, speaking with the neighbor to come up with a solution was one of them. I think ultimately ended up, you know, turning for Brad, you and the rest of the council, how you want to move forward on this. And again, I think neighborhood meeting, there is no HOA over there, so it'll be a little bit more difficult. I don't think turning the whole neighborhood into a parking is a solution. But again, there are multiple entities involved in this and individual residents, so yeah, just want to put this on your plate.
Do I understand correctly that the school district reached out to us?
Yes, the school district reached out as well.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, is it just in the cul-de-sac area that's the issue?
Yes. The two cul-de-sacs, yes.
Okay. Because I'm looking at it, and there's a, you know, the straight run on either side. I mean, that's, I don't know. I'm just, you can move 20 feet up the road. It looks like
when we was dealing with that, you know, from the police department stance, we've made many suggestions ourselves of, hey, how about you get along with your neighbor, and you know, at certain times, you know, move your car, and...
Chief, can you repeat that?
Well, get along with your neighbor.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's what I heard you say.
Yeah, try to get along with your neighbor, and things tend to work out a lot better. But when you don't, and then we get involved, most people are not interested in moving 10 feet, mainly because, like, you know, like we was talking, well, is my car legally parked? Yes, it is.
So it sounds like it's more than just two neighbors when you have the school district saying that they cannot safely pick the kids up.
What's a little...
To me, that's distinguished. However you all want to handle it, to me, this is slightly elevated, and just maybe two neighbors not getting along, you know.
It is, it's more than that, but it's still, legal parking. You have to do something that they couldn't park there.
Like I said, I think there's three homes right there. I think we give those three residents, try to come up with some common ground.
Make it four, trust me. Make it four.
Four?
The three back there, and then if you're coming out, the one on the right.
Okay, all right, and give those neighbors there, and start from there, and then see if we can come up with a solution. Probably wouldn't hurt to probably maybe see if we can get something from the school system.
I'll have them involved.
And have them bring that along with us and say, well, here's your option. This is why, this is what we had, and this is what we need to deal with. And I think that hopefully we can come up with a solution, whether, like I said, whether it's a time frame period, before, you know, any citation is ever to be given. I'd be curious to see how many cul-de-sacs that we have in the town. To be honest, just to kind of just say...
That school buses have a difficult time running around that.
So, those are a school. Can you give us another four or five solutions where we can pull it up such like this right here and say, all right, this is what this neighborhood is doing to take care of that scenario? Or this cul-de-sac was designed based upon considering there being on-street parking, you know, and still being able to have a way for the school buses, the fire trucks, any type of emergency vehicles that need to be able to get in and out of there properly. So
just throwing it out there, not that it'd be like law enforcement signs, but just some information signs that, you know, informing people that, you know, not the entire problem there, but, you know, parking here, I don't know how to word it or how we...
They know.
Yeah, they know.
The sign would, they know.
Okay, well, I'm just suggesting for the person that doesn't know, because legally, you know...
That's a very small neighborhood back there, so... Everyone back there is aware of the situation.
That's fine. I was just trying to not take a hammer to kill a fly with. We need to start out the other way.
We've been trying.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we can. Okay. Like I said, we'll get with those four neighborhoods and neighbors there in that neighborhood there, and then we'll start from there. And then, like I said, thing would be find out, you know, how the developer design that cul-de-sac.
So, just out of curiosity, this bus goes to each individual house to pick up the children, correct?
It depends. The elementary school is a little different than I think the middle and the high school. There are a couple of, for example, I mean, this more or less this entire street is cul-de-sac, right? I mean, it's a long straight dead end. When you look at your typical standard, you look at your typical standard cul-de-sacs, you know, they're four houses deep, what have you. So I know, you know, when I come to school, when I come to work in the morning, I get behind a school bus, and, you know, they may stop at the end of a cul-de-sac on the main road, but there may be like five houses on it. Well, this one here, you've got, you know what, 700 feet, 800 feet worth of cul-de-sac there, because there's one way in, one way out. So,
does the bus experience the same problems in the other cul-de-sac?
No, because they don't have people parking on the street. No. Okay. So again, when you get to some of the other neighborhoods where they do go back to the cul-de-sac, for example, this neighbor does not have an HOA that enforces street parking or no street parking. most of the neighborhoods that have the cul-de-sacs do have HOAs that enforce enough street parking as part of the provision of the neighborhood. So it's, you know, now, again, I think this cul-de-sac is a little bit different. I think one of the houses back there has multiple generations of the same family living there. So I went back there after this call originally came in. I think I counted 11 cars.
There's a large service truck that sits there as well.
And that's one of those. That was one of the 11.
11 cars?
At one house.
At one house?
Correct.
And one of them is larger than a regular pickup.
It's a flatbed truck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so let's try that approach first. Come back to it and settle down. I'm not opposed to putting in certain time frame parking and issuing a citation, so at all. Okay, any general comments from the public?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Is it that it's not illegal as I drive the church around through Hillendale and people park on both sides of the road, parks in the same way? It's not illegal.
You need to be parked on the, I'll yield to the chief, but you need to be parked facing the flow of traffic.
So have you ever driven through Hillendale in the evenings? Cars parked on the wrong side of the road. It's an obstacle course anyhow, a church family, sure.
If you read the law, it actually states your right tires, so that's your passenger side tires. You're supposed to be closest to the curb. You're right. But it's not just in Hillendale, it's on every street and every road that we have.
Now, so they park right across, they just leave enough room for the van to get through.
Let me ask you a question. This comes up all the time, so I appreciate you asking the question. When you see cars parked on both sides of the road in Hillendale, and you're driving down the street, does that make you drive faster or slower?
I slow down because I've got to get between them.
Because the streets are narrow. So when you get in some of these other subdivisions that are newer, where the streets are 40 feet wide, it looks like a drag street. And there's no cars parked on either side. So people naturally go faster because you feel comfortable. That's why narrower streets with environmental designs like bump outs and some of the other things that we're talking about are more effective than a speed hump, right?
No, I was just asking about them parking facing the wrong way.
Where he's going, yes, they're doing that. We can sit there and make them. But if they was both still parked, okay, this one's parked on the right side and this one's parked, they can still legally park there. But the good side of that is the cars that are still driving are not going to be driving as fast because the natural flow has most people's like, oh crap, can I fit through there? So they're going to slow down. If you don't have parking on the street, then obviously, yes, then people are going to actually drive faster. But whether they're parked facing this way or facing the other way, they can still legally park on both sides of the street.
Well, I did know that, facing the wrong way.
Their right tires are supposed to be closest to the curb.
Well, there's several that's not, so I just wonder.
I see it all the time. Thank you. John, you got it.
Yeah, first I'd like to publicly thank Judge Glickfield, Lisa Glickfield, and Jeremy Snelling, who's a community service coordinator, for coming down with the community service individuals from Clark County to pick up trash. Over last week, they started down at Exit 7 and worked all the way up to Poindexter American Way, and they're going to continue on up the road here this week on some of that stuff. So if you notice, coming up 60, as of the other day, there's no trash on 60. So
I appreciate that. I know I sent you a couple of text messages. And I just, for property owners and business owners that are along that strip, and I know some of it's not our jurisdiction, it's not our 10 town limits, but it's windy, I get it. But these people survive off the taxpayers of the town, and driving down the road, you just see trash everywhere. It's a bad look.
it's not even in our town. But again, this goes back to our executive session conversation. This, the town of Selvesburg takes the blame for reaps the not so much rewards of a negative view because business owners or people outside of our town just refuse to take care of the properties. I appreciate you going through that and doing that for me. And I'm sure there are other people in town that appreciate that effort as well, and the judge and her program. But it's like, do we really need like work release or community service people to come in and clean up our town? And property owners should be doing that. Like, remember when you went to the property where JC's and a couple of years ago with all that, because you have all these trucks going out to the landfill, and that's where the large majority of that trash comes from. So, and, but at some point, you gotta look at your property and go, hey, I need to clean this up. Then you're charging town people a fee for a service, and you're making money off of them. We should do to beautify your property. I mean, that's just my opinion. So I appreciate you doing it. I didn't want to harass you or send multiple pictures, but it looks a lot nicer.
Sometimes it takes making that order, especially being a busy highway.
I get it. You shouldn't have to do that. And I know you do it for the town, but we shouldn't be doing it.
This Wednesday, we have a ribbon cutting at the Archie's Barber Shop, 2 p.m. It's no longer going to be Archie's, it will be Marie's Place. So if you have availability and would like to attend ribbon cutting for the official renaming of Archie's to Marie's Place, Wednesday, 2 p.m. It's at the intersection of Pop and 31 there by the Circuit Bank.
Archie retired?
Yes.
How many years has he been there? 30, 30?
He was there for a while.
Yeah.
Good luck in your retirement, Archie.
It's been a while since he retired, too. I don't know how long he had.
Nearly 4.
I'm trying to get my first haircut down there. 13 or so.
I got my first haircut, Mr. Fields, right over here. That's the barrier. Yard waste starts the week of March 6th. So yard waste information on the website, selvesburg.org. You can go to Street Sanitation Department, find the information there. It goes every other week, the same week as recycling week, starting next week here in town, so starting March 6th. Our spring clean, our annual spring clean, will be the week of March 20th. You go to selvesburg.org on the homepage to see upcoming events. Details are on there. It runs Monday through Saturday, and the dumpsters will be located at Clark County Transfer and Recycling Facility on 403. You'll need to bring your bill, a statement with you that shows that you pay for sanitation services. This is for in-town residents only, not just anybody. So you gotta have your sanitation bill with you and a driver's license to match the address there. And last week there were some signs that went up and related to the NDOT project at Poindexter with the stoplight. We had the pre-construction meeting this afternoon or this morning. They're tentatively saying March 16th through mid-May is how long that intersection will be closed. E&B paving will be doing that work for NDOT. So again, NDOT is installing the stoplight at the intersection of Poindexter and 60. It'll be the first in a series of improvements along 60 between now and 2027. So the detour for that will be through Twin Brook, over to Newberry and Poindexter to circumvent around that. So be looking for that. Questions about that?
What was the date on the lake?
That's a total road closure of Highway 60?
No, it is just on Poindexter from 60 to Newberry.
Okay.
So it's like 200 feet.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Poindexter. So 60's not closed. There'll be construction and activity. 60's not closed. No, it's just Poindexter to Newberry.
I just wanted to clarify that.
So,
yeah.
Thank
you.
That's on your mind. And then the Easter Bunny sent us a letter. We'll be having another Easter egg hunt this year on April 8th, which will be a Saturday morning. So Easter Bunny goes all around the town. Selvesburg, hiding Easter eggs. You find an Easter egg, you bring it to town hall, and get your Easter basket, and pull some little goodies. So. It's open to anybody who wants to participate in that. But this Saturday before Easter in the morning, I'd say get out there early within the town limits of Selvesburg and see if we can find an Easter egg, one per family.
And all this this is on, all of this is on Facebook and our website?
On the website.
Mr. Mobley has a question.
This may be a stupid question, but you said you're going to install the light on what date or what?
No, this will be an ongoing project through the summer.
It's not a working light until?
Until the project's done.
You have an idea on its completion?
Later this summer, I think.
This summer?
I believe it's this summer, I have to look back on those.
I've been telling people toward the fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it starts seeing work and mobilization went on here in the next few weeks. And I'm supposed to be contacting everybody involved. The signs went up prematurely, the signs were not supposed to go up until I had a pre-construction meeting to get everything finalized with all the coordinating entities. For some reason, signs went up, a lot of confusion abound. Took a little bit to get all my hands around it, so we got some information out. It's on the website, the social media, the pre-con meeting was today, and it was basically what was relayed to us.
So there is a design that you've got on the website, show it being done?
I have a map of the detour on the website, yeah.
But you don't have no showing the resident or anybody what's being done in that whole area?
No.
Like a rendered?
Yeah.
For a minute?
I can give one, I'll have one.
I was wondering if I was going to ask a question, I didn't know if that pertained to bunnies and eggs and chickens and eggs. I'm glad you didn't ask the question. Thank you.
All right, you done?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Board, do you have anything to get to you this evening?
Couple of days for each, good updates on your water projects. Ohio Avenue, so they ran into some issues with rocks last week, but they anticipate completion of that either later this week or by Tuesday, he says, next week. So then that project will be finished.
What they ran into issues with rocks, what is that?
So.
They find rocks?
Yeah. They were directional drilling the whole project. And that required that they weren't going to have to, you know, open cut the ground to actually lay pipe in the ground. However, while they were doing that, they hit rock. They ended up losing some drill bits. They could not get through it. There was a section they ended up having to end up cutting to then be able to excavate some rock out. So, but they were still able to move on with that work. They have a very little bit of the work left to finish. So when I talked to him today, he expected that they would be able to finish it either later this week or early next week. It's just a couple, I think, one section left and then the final timing. So that will be finished and well ahead of the amount of time that they had in the schedule for that. And then the system connection project, when I spoke to him today, he anticipates the final connections should be happening this week and they will be able to test those connections and everything next week. And so then that one will be done. So checking those off the list. So very excited for that season. On the treatment plant, everything is still moving along. You will see as we move closer to the finish that the items start looking like they're slowing down. And it's because we are moving towards completion. The large items are now finished. And so it's going to be kind of the smaller things, the details, coming into play. The council tour that we have set up for you guys is scheduled for March 9th at 3 p.m. And then really the last update is just about CCMG. So the last closeout for the last, the end of last year's CCMG was complete and sent to NDOT, and then you all just them awarded for this next year. So that is all for those. I also have for you to take home some light reading for review for next time. It is a work order for Butler Road, a low-pressure sewer system. We're hoping it just fixed, going to be a low-pressure sewer system through there. So it was brought to us that there are three residential properties on Butler Road that are currently on septic, and they need to be brought onto your sewer system. And to do that, it is likely that that will be a low-pressure system put in there.
Were they asking to be put on sewer?
It is my understanding that that is a request, yes.
Yes, back in, like I said, back in early 15, 16, when we were working on that project, we discussed running a line from top of the hill down to the first manhole, and then they started doing some researching and some other things kind of took place, and so there were some manholes back on the back side of the neighborhood that probably will be a lot more efficient for us to be forward on that. And so it's just kind of been a little time depending on what we've been waiting on.
And so, yeah, looking.
Unfortunately, we had someone connected into another homeowner's septic tank, so we need to take care of the problem. And like I said, it's really not a bad little thing, but they'll all have to, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And so we've got that here for you. It is for the design portion. That is a lump sum portion, and then as we have done with our other construction admin and inspection portion, so it'll be hourly, you know, time and materials as needed. So that's for you to review, and we can bring it back up and discuss for approval at the next meeting.
Okay, all right. Charlie, is this something we'll do in the house? No.
No, that's not our capabilities.
Any questions for me?
Thank you. Thank you.
Jake?
Nothing.
Chief?
No, sir.
Scott, do you want to go first tonight?
It's that time of year. I spoke with the fire chief, Pine Township Chief Musadi. Burning of materials, there's guidance from the state, there's exceptions for certain counties. Clark is one of those counties, so I would refer people to do their research before they begin, even in fire pits that are behind their homes that are pre-constructed. There's guidance for what you can and what you can't burn, and just be aware, if someone calls the fire department, they're going to respond and they're going to put, even if it's in your fire pit, now it's going to be a bummer, they're going to put it out. That is by law and responsibility, the fire department will do that. So I know it's that time of year, you crank out the fire pits, hanging out, having a good time, enjoying your properties, but just be mindful of, and of course, the state issues a no-burn ban. Everyone has to follow those rules and regulations. So I'll probably try to, Charlie, if we can, we put some of that information, I'll send it to you, Amir had sent it to me earlier. Because this is about the time of year the calls for service go up. And please don't be lighting off canisters of gasoline and other things that go boom at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning that happened the other night. Chief, you're aware of that, right?
Yes, I am.
So be aware of your neighbors and let them have some peace and quiet as well. Like I said, can't neighbors all get along. Other than that, the weather's getting ready to be warm, and Little League season starting, and kids are going to be out and about, so again, I'll caution you about driving behavior and the speed, and so we don't have any tragedies. Other than that, I don't have anything.
All right, Terry?
Just extend a thank you to all our town employees. Everybody seems to be doing a really good job right now. He kind of stole some of my thunder about the kids playing out in the street and whatever, playing out in the yard. Go Hoosiers.
No comment.
I'm good.
Randy?
I don't have a lot to add to what Terry and Scott said. Charlie did not bring up some of the, being on the Parks Board, I'm excited about some of the events coming up. We have a Shakespeare in the Park, we have a pool opening soon, we have, well, not soon, but sooner than later, but the fireworks, of course, Charlie, we're always excited about that, aren't we? He doesn't always mention it, but it's always on his mind, so.
I've been here 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah, I know. So it's my first year, and I'm very excited to go, so. Also, the music event this year, really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a big hit. August is a fairly, you know, outside of that, just I like the way things are getting done here. Sometimes on this board, we disagree, but, you know, the good thing that we've had is a Team Sellersburg concept, and we agree to disagree, and we try to work things through. And I'm just excited to be a part of it. And as Terry said, I always like to thank the town employees. It seems like our turnover rate is different than it used to be. And it's exciting, you know, that we got people that want to come here and go to work, and they want to live here and work here, and it's a good deal. Glad to be a part of it. That's all I have, Brad.
All right, thank you. Just on my end, like you said, you know, people start doing their yard cleanup and stuff like that, so I was glad to see that we're ready to get the yard waste program going back. Like I said, Charlie mentioned, don't forget spring trash. I've had a couple phone calls and texts already wanting to know when it is, so remember March the 20th is the start of it. Be the same location as it was last year, out at the transfer station out by Earth First. We really appreciate those folks out there helping us with that, with all the things we've got going on out of our sewer plant. It seems to be a pretty working process, I think, at the end of the day. So once again, we'll probably start seeing a lot of some things getting done, streets being closed, to do some repairs of different such sort now that our CCNG program has been approved. So keep in mind trying to avoid some of those areas and be respectful to the employees of the awarded bidder to be able to get the job done and get out of everybody's way so everybody can get through there safe and sound afterwards. So other than that, I have nothing else to say. So, Michelle?
No.
All right. With that said, I ask for adjournment.
So moved.
That's a motion by Scott. That was second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. 6:51.
Hey, Randy, I'm chicken creeper.